Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Save his life,
call his wife, and hey, nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been?
4:05. How we doing on this Tuesday morning? McMonagle here with you on the overnights. I got you for one more hour till 5 a.m. We've talked a lot of football. We talked Mike McCarthy and the Dallas situation, prime, the possibility of Shedeur Sanders going to Dallas, what that could mean. Dak Prescott to the Giants? It's a thought. It's a possibility. If they're looking to move up to get their quarterback, get his son. Obviously, Sam Darnold, the rest of the miserable wild card weekend. What a disastrous set of football games. I mean, one good game among the six. One. I went 3-for-3 in the picks. Thankfully, the Rams saved me from having a losing season, losing weekend. We'll see how we do. Couple better, you know, hopefully better games this weekend. But let's just talk, because Marco ended the update with it. I do want to talk about Roki Sasaki for a second, because look, I'm not upset or bitter as a Yankee fan. I allowed myself to get my hopes up, right? There was a report from, I believe it was Jim Bowden last week, where he was reporting that it was down to the Padres and the Yankees, right? That was his report. I allowed myself to kind of have hopes that maybe that was true. We all know how certainly in the last 10 years, I mean, really, Tanaka is the last one. Most of the Japanese stars want to stay on the West Coast where they're closer to, Japan, their families. It's much less of a flight, and it's more, plausible to see family from now and then and have them come visit you, and understandable. Right, and it's been like this for a while. So did we all think it was going to be the Dodgers or the Padres? Sure, right? But I allowed myself to get my hopes up because of one particular thing that now I feel like I was lied to on. And I feel like it's all a sham. Maybe that's a bit much. But I don't know how much it's actually playing into it, because we were told that he's very much into developing as a young pitcher. He wants to develop. He's coming here early. He's foregoing millions in 2 years from now by coming here early because he wants to be the best. Because this is where the best play. And he wants to develop. And it was never about money, because he's limited to the pool money. There's only so much he can make. It's not about who's going to offer him the biggest contract. It's about coming here. It's about getting familiar with Major League Baseball. And it's about developing. So he was big on, give me your plan. How are you going to make me better? Blah, blah. And then you find out today the three finalists. The three finalists are the Los Angeles Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, and the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I'm sorry, but please, it's hard to tell me that it's about developing as a young pitcher and not just comfort and where you want to play. Now, by all means, go make your decision based on comfort and where you want to go play. That's fine with me. We know, obviously, Ohtani was very, you know, the Blue Jays were one of the finalists for him. It's a, you know, a populated Japanese community out in Toronto. It's a beautiful city. There's plenty of reasons to want to go play and live in Toronto. Obviously, the Dodgers, he would have former teammates, you know, people he could communicate with. I all understand. Plus, it's on the West Coast. Padres on the West Coast, fine. But, I mean, the Dodgers give you the development of a young pitcher. But besides that, when's the last time the Toronto Blue Jays developed anybody? Like, if you're willing to come to the East Coast and it's about development, the Yankees have developed more, have a better pitching lab and developmental situation. The Mets as well. If you want to talk about it, how about even just on the West Coast, if it's about getting developed, who's done better with young pitchers than Seattle? It just comes down to he wants to go play where he's comfortable, and that's fine. But we were told it's going to be about, the reason I got my hopes up is because there was some thought that it's about where he can develop best as a young pitcher. And I sold myself on the idea that, and even for the Mets, all of the stuff I'm about to say applies. Where he can come work with a legitimately good pitching coach and a situation that has developed pitchers. Yankees a little bit better out of the bullpen, but how many different guys, you know, they developed Michael King. They were able to trade him for Juan Soto. Like they took a fledgling reliever in Pittsburgh, turned him into a closer and one of the better relievers in baseball, and now he's been paid by the Mets to be a starting pitcher because they see so much promise in him. Like, there's been, Wandy Peralta came here and was much better. A lot of names have come out of nowhere. Weaver was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Like, the Yankees have done a lot in developing pitching. The Mets, clearly, especially in the last year, have done a lot to develop good pitching and the promise of winning, the promise of pitching in big games. Like, that's part of it, too. And for the Yankees, I also thought that maybe, you know, Gerrit Cole is one of the more, you know, kind of like pitching coaches on the field, one of those teammates who, you know, understands the language of pitching more than anyone else. But, like, it's going to come down to the Dodgers and the Padres. Okay. There is some sort of, like, thought that the Padres develop a lot of pitchers. Like, who? Their entire rotation is free agents and trades. Like, I don't know who they've been developing necessarily. The Dodgers, I'll give you, there's development, there's teammates that he would be, you know, interested in playing with, and there's the West Coast. So we all understand the Dodgers plus guaranteed winning. Like, I get it, but it's just about comfort. Just tell me that so I don't get my hopes up, because the Yankees and the Mets have as much to offer as the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays haven't developed anything. They can't get anybody to take their money. But ultimately for the Yankees and the Mets, who I think clearly between the two, the Mets could have used them more. Like, the Mets rotation is just, it's okay at best. I mean, it's got a chance to be good if they can work their magic that they worked last year. I do believe in Clay Holmes' stuff. I don't know how it's going to transition into a starting pitcher just yet, but we'll have to see. Obviously, Manaea and his new crossfire mechanics. If he can be what he was in the second half, David Peterson was the best version of himself last year. If that continues, if Sanga's healthy, because, you know, in the one start we saw where he was healthy and built up and legitimately ready to go last year, he was very good and he was great 2 years ago. So the rotation has a chance to be good, but to bring in a dynamic young 100-mile-an-hour flamethrower to bolster that rotation and maybe they could have moved stuff from depth there as well, because you got Montas, who I didn't even mention there, like, that would really help bolster that Met rotation, where the Yankees, the rotation arguably is their best feature at the moment. They're trying to trade away starting pitching. They already traded away a starter for a reliever in, to get Williams for Nestor Cortez. And now they're looking desperately to move away from Marcus Stroman. So it would have helped anytime you can get someone at this price, his age, his skill set, any team in baseball would have taken it. So it would have clearly helped the Yankees. It would have made things easier for the Yankees to trade from even more of a strength. They could have moved, theoretically, a Luis Gil or a Clark Schmidt for another bat or something else. Like, it opens up a lot of options for any team that gets him. But ultimately, he's going to the West Coast. He's going somewhere where he's comfortable. And I wish him well. And if he goes to the Dodgers, which I think is a plausibility, although it seems like there's video of him working out with the Padres in Padre gear. So if he goes to the Padres, then I certainly wish him well. If he goes to the Dodgers, I don't know how you can't be with me on saying the Dodgers are the least likable team in the history of professional sports, even more so than the Dynasty Yankees. They get everybody. They run their mouths and brag after championships. What's worse than the Dodgers? But yes, I got my hopes up, and the dream is over. But that's okay. 888-808-1019. Pitchers and catchers. February 11th, counting the days. 73 days till opening day. That's right. I'll make sure to keep the count going for you guys on Yankee Hot Stove here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though. Tom in Erie, PA. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good, but I'm having a grumpy old man moment. I think this weekend with the NFL, I watched Fonzie jump the shark.
They had a rough weekend.
The quarterbacking in the NFL is an embarrassment. And to think that, you know, they're putting this on four different platforms where... And again, I'm an old man. I'm 63, mm-hmm. And it's a pain in the butt for me to chase after, you know, what Peacock and all this other garbage.
Well, I mean, it was on NBC.
Sorry.
It was on NBC. It wasn't just Peacock, but
I understand. Mm-hmm. But you know, I also needed all season long. It's been, you know, which one's on. On Prime Video, which one's on this
Thursday night?
But beyond that, the quarterbacking.
Yes,
you know, when I first started following football, Earl Morrill with his flat top and Bob Greasy throwing seven passes.
Yeah,
that would be the best quarterbacking I watched this weekend.
No, I don't know about the best you've watched this weekend. I'm Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson played better than that. But yes, there was some poor quarterback play, no doubt about it. Herbert was terrible to start off. Stroud was terrible to start the game. Then Herbert finished the game just hideously. So that was game one. And then, Russell Wilson, not very good, certainly in the first half on the game, which you and the different broadcast I get. And this is, I forgot to say this yesterday. You know what makes me uber confident that I don't give a damn about the broadcast? I am one of the more, I don't care about the broadcast. I honestly don't. You know how I know? My sons made me because they saw the commercial for it and the promo for it. I had to watch the first game. I mean, you're gonna say, the broadcast is important. I was literally watching SpongeBob call the game. I was watching the Nickelodeon broadcast. And it didn't bother me at all, other than the camera angles. That was the only thing. I had to put back on the game just to get quality camera angles, but the actual, like, SpongeBob and his questions and his analysis, I just kept rolling on with the game. It didn't bother me. I was at my in-laws' house. They're going away for a while, so we went there to just, you know, have a dinner with them before they leave, and I was forced with my two sons, my nephews, and they all were screaming at me while I'm sitting there alone watching football because nobody else cares. Please, please, can we watch the Nickelodeon broadcast? Please, please, come on, please, please, I want to see the slime. So I'm watching the Nickelodeon broadcast, didn't bother me at all. Now that's probably because when they're screaming and going crazy, I can't hear the broadcast anyway. But yeah, I mean, so you're right. I was watching a Nickelodeon broadcast, then you're watching Amazon, it's on Peacock, you know. I appreciate that. It's rather easy to go find, to be totally honest with you. I think your argument about the quarterback play is a more valid one because it was brutal this week. And that's why, Jet fans, I'm telling you, Smarten up. Bring back Aaron Rodgers. Go get Mike McCarthy. Go get Pete Carroll. Go get a coach who has won in this league, stabilize this team, be a legitimate head coach, keep Aaron Rodgers, keep Devontae Adams, because I'm telling you right now, this team, the team that we just saw beat the Dolphins for the final game of the year, that exact team, the team we saw get blown out by Buffalo 172-1, that exact same team, you put that team with a legitimate head coach like Mike McCarthy, or obviously these are my two guys because I like the idea of a bridge short term, but any legitimate head coach. But Mike McCarthy or Pete Carroll, and you line up and you've got Aaron Rodgers and you've got Devontae Adams and you've got Garrett Wilson and you've got Breece Hall in the backfield, and you line that up and go against Herbert, who I don't trust in a big game to save my life, you line that up and go against what we just saw Sam Darnold do, that's a 14-win team, by the way. Give me a real head coach in the New York Jets against Sam Darnold and that 14-win team. I'll take my chances and feel pretty good about it. Like, this is the NFL. He's right. The quarterback play sucked. The games have sucked. The teams suck. Even some of the teams that win. Houston's going to get demolished this weekend. And these teams aren't that good. Bring it back. Go out, try and win. Win 10 games and make the playoffs. You never know what could happen. For what? Bringing in a different veteran quarterback who can't win? Bringing in someone worse than Aaron Rodgers just to say, I'm done with Aaron Rodgers? I don't need to be done with him. I don't think it's that much of an addition by subtraction. I really don't. I want to win. They haven't won in 15 years. They're the laughingstock of professional sports, not just the NFL. Like, it needs to stop. It needs to stop. And explain to me how they're going to get better than 28, 11, and 3,900 yards. Tell me where they're going to get better. It doesn't matter. We'll be done with it all. Okay, be done with it. Start a rebuild and have it be 2 or 3 years before this team is good enough to win. And plus, get rid of your defensive players that have, you know, played well for you. I know Sauce hasn't played as well lately. Had a miserable year. I understand there's been some injuries. You know, DJ Reed's an MVP. DJ Reed's a free agent. Team might look a little different. I still think Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall. Yeah, you have your left tackle now in Fashanu. Like, build up the offensive line. Add some defensive players, draft well, and go take on some of these lousy quarterbacks who are making the playoffs.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 428, McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. On this Tuesday morning, we'll get back to the calls here. We've spent most of the day on football, the Giants quarterback, Jets coaching, and wild card weekend. Look forward to divisional weekend. It can't be any worse. This was a miserable weekend of football. Just awful. And yeah, the quarterback play in particular, and the coaches too. Like, that might even be more surprising. I gotta be honest; it probably is more surprising. I did not think a Harbaugh-led team. Like, the reason I loved them, I think my favorite bet going into the weekend, my favorite pick was the Chargers. The Texans hadn't played well down the stretch, and Harbaugh in a big game, and Herbert limited turnovers. Like, I just thought. I like them a lot in the game. And to watch that team, the way they played, they dominated the first 27 minutes of the game. And then a play off of a bad snap and a 50-yard play down the field completely changed the game. That one play, it felt like C.J. Stroud locked in. Like, he suddenly his confidence was back. But to watch a team led by Harbaugh, who did so much to help Herbert stop turning the ball over. Just the way he turned the ball over, the way the team played in the second half, it was just awful. To have a team led by Mike Tomlin not show up in the first half and then make business decisions in the second half, surprising. I still don't think there's a, I don't think there's a, oh, any way in the world Pittsburgh lets go of him, and I think they'd be stupid to let go of him, but that was a really bad performance from a Mike Tomlin-led team. Really bad. And then O'Connell last night. And this is one of the more, you know, well thought of. You know, he's turned around the Vikings. They win 13 games 2 years ago, make the playoffs. They win 14 games this year with Sam Darnold. They had a over-under 6.5 and just was battling for the one seed with the Lions a week ago. And both of those games are awful. And this game, they had, I mean, and then in the second half, he's not trying to win. In the second half, he's, you know, there's no urgency to the play calling. You know, the play clock's running down to less than 5 seconds on regular snaps. He's, they're running the football down 3+ touchdowns at the end of the third into the fourth. Like, it didn't make any sense. Sam Darnold sacked 9 times in the game. They didn't really get after. I mean, with a couple of exceptions, I mean, really, Stafford was able to do, especially early on in the game, do what he wanted, throwing the football. Bigby for a couple of big plays. Puka Nacua for a big play to start the game. Just really ugly performance from really good coaches in the league right now. Not just the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks, yeah, Sam Darnold was awful. Herbert was awful. Russell Wilson was awful. But the coaches, who you expect more from, had teams that looked like they didn't want to play. Dennis in Bayonne. What's up, Dennis?
What's going on, bud?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Not so bad. I had a question. I just wanted to hear your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I say that the Giants go ahead and just draft Travis Hunter and then trade for Justin Fields.
If I do that, I still want to draft a quarterback in the second round.
Oh yeah, you get like Jackson Dart if he's available.
If you could trade back, if you draft Hunter and then you can trade back into the back end of the first half, like if he gets the pick 27, 28, and you like Dart and he hasn't been picked yet, and you can move back in or take him at the top of the second round, I wouldn't. I think that's a good idea. I don't hate that idea.
That would be a crazy offense if you throw like a couple of plays in there for Travis Hunter.
Yeah, like, I mean, you'd have a couple gimmick gadget plays. I would try and go get T. Higgins if I could, or another weapon to go along with Malik Nabers and Wandell Robinson, who I like as a slot wide receiver. Yeah, I think the idea of a veteran, and I think Justin Fields fits it as well as anyone. If you can get Fields in here and draft the young quarterback, and kind of, because I want, if I'm going to bring in a veteran guy, quote unquote, and I know Fields is, you know, if I'm going to bring in another quarterback, I want him to be able to win the job. I don't want to bring in a guy just for, I mean, unless it's a 1 year thing and he's literally just there because I don't think the quarterback's ready to play year one. Like, that's fine. But if I'm going to bring in Fields, if I'm going to bring in a guy, I'd love to draft a quarterback. If I'm not drafting Sanders or Ward, if I'm not trading up to get one of the big-time prospects, if I'm not using that third pick to either take the quarterback, move up to get the quarterback, whatever the case may be, if I'm doing that, then I'm more in line with just finding a one-year veteran. I mean, I guess it could be Fields, but whatever. Like, then I know I'm going to the quarterback either halfway through next season or at the start of the year after. I know it. It doesn't matter how good the other player plays. I'm taking him with the third pick. I'm playing him. Because I don't expect them to win like the Minnesota Vikings have won with Sam Darnold and make it a discussion. I don't think it would get there. So that I feel differently about. But if I'm going to go the Dart route, if I'm going to go Milrow route, if I'm going to go a second round pick at the quarterback position, if I'm going to take Hunter or whatever I take at the third pick, the edge rusher from Penn State, Carter. Like, if they do that, and then they draft a quarterback in the second round, the quarterback I bring in, I would love to have it be someone the age of Fields where theoretically he can win the job. And then I have two different, I have two options. I can win with this guy and say, okay, look, I've solved the quarterback situation. Me and, you know, Brian Daboll and Justin Fields click. And we've established a way to win football. He played really great. The offense scored points. It looks like we can move forward with it. Great. Or it doesn't work, and then we've had a year of developing the young quarterback. That's the best of both worlds to have that kind of scenario. A Sam Darnold would be perfect as well. I just don't know what that would cost. Sam Fields, you know, Justin Fields is a minor trade, a fourth, fifth round pick, maybe even more than that, sixth, seventh round pick. To get Justin Fields in here, it's a lot easier than Sam Darnold, who's going to be a free agent, and I'm not sure the kind of money he's going to demand after having this type of season, even though he had this miserable game. So, but that kind of option, a veteran or a seasoned quarterback who's young enough where theoretically, if he plays well, can win the job. I think that's a viable option for the Giants if they're not picking Sanders or Ward or using that third pick for a quarterback. Because that guy, he's got to play. Second round pick doesn't have to play if you can find a way around it. But I just don't know. I don't know what the Giants are thinking. We'll see. And then, yeah, I mean, Hunter, I'm not so focused on him. Sure, he'll be in some packages, maybe some goal line packages or, you know, some gadget plays with him. And again, they'll have some cap space. I would love to go get T. Higgins. That's why I don't think the Giants are that far off. I don't. Next year's schedule is brutal. I don't think they're that close either, but they're not that far off. Like, if you look at some of the weapons on this team, Malik Nabers is obviously a viable young number one wide receiver. Right? I like Wandell Robinson in the slot. If you go get T. Higgins, that's one hell of a wide receiver core. Right? And they have the cap space to do something like that. You look at the offensive line, I think it played better this year. I think Illuminor is a fine right tackle. If Andrew Thomas is healthy playing left tackle, you got Runyon at guard. Like, you know, you take some of that money you have in free agency and certainly with the draft as well, and get some depth at the offensive line position. Defensively, you've got one of the better defensive tackles in the league, maybe the best defensive tackle in the league, and certainly over the last 2 years, the best pass-rushing defensive tackle in the sport. You've got an edge rusher in Burns, who was capable this year. Maybe, you know, is he worth all the money they gave him? I don't know, but he's a damn good edge rusher. You still have Thibodeau on the other side. Doesn't get me excited, but he's a player. You've got Newbin and Phillips, two defensive backs you just drafted this year, really showed promise. Phillips is a top 15 rookie in just overall rookie, any position, offense, defense. He was a top 15 rookie by by Football Focus. So, like, they've got some options here. I don't think it's, like, completely barren where they have no chance of showing real growth next year. So I'm open to anything because I think if you get competent quarterback play, they'll win enough games to satisfy the coach. I really do believe that. Satisfy the owner, rather. But, so I don't know what they're thinking. And again, I was talking about it at 3 o'clock. We'll see what happens with Deion Sanders. Because if Deion Sanders, and if you haven't heard, you can go back and listen to all this. I did it at 3 o'clock. You can go back and listen to the rewind feature on the app. But obviously, Mike McCarthy out with Dallas. He's interviewing with Chicago and New Orleans. I don't know why the Jets would not involve themselves in that. They absolutely should, but we'll see where he goes. But the first call Jerry Jones made after telling Mike McCarthy he won't be back as Dallas head coach is he called Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders has been, gave a quote saying it's always, you know, incredible to talk to Jerry. As soon as I hung up, it's you know, an amazing opportunity to think about, but I'm happy in Colorado, so we'll see. But clearly, Jerry Jones wants to hire him. The first thing he did after letting go of Mike McCarthy is to call Deion Sanders. To hear from Jerry Jones is truly delightful and intriguing. I love Jerry and believe in Jerry. After you hang up and process it and think about it, it's intriguing. That's the quote from Deion Sanders. It's followed up by, but I love Boulder and everything there is about our team, the coaches, our student body, and the community. So he doesn't say, I won't leave. He doesn't say, I'm staying at Colorado no matter what. But he's happy there. You'd have to really convince him to come be the Cowboy coach. But he's been on record saying he wants to only coach his son if he comes to the NFL. So if that's the case, if you believe everyone involved, if you believe Jerry Jones wants him, if you believe he's willing to go there, and if you believe he would only coach his son at quarterback, well, how the hell did the Cowboys get him? And trading up to number three is a lot closer than where they sit at 12 right now. And considering, you know, they can try and play that Eli Manning game, the John Elway game, and tell Cleveland in particular that they're not interested in going there, that Sanders won't sign there to go play quarterback, and the fact that you'd have to include, if you're trading up, you know, you have to get Dak off the books. You have to get Dak off the team. The Giants would take Dak, clearly, probably restructure that contract, extend him, work with the money, and that would satisfy the owner, right? Because everything I just said, you add Dak Prescott, who is, I don't know, a top 10, 12 quarterback, sure. Do I think that makes the Giants a Super Bowl contender? No. All the questions that linger around Dak Prescott and his career would obviously only heighten as a year older with the New York Giants. So, of course, I don't think it guarantees them anything other than, you know, really good, competent quarterback play and a veteran franchise quarterback along with Malik Nabers could go out and do damage. I really believe the offense could be a hell of a lot better with Brian Daboll, Dak Prescott, Malik Nabers. And that way you give the Cowboys would have an opportunity to either move up with Cleveland at two after telling them they're not getting Sanders, even if they draft him. Like, it opens up the possibility for the Cowboys to complete the Holy Trinity, as Keith likes to say, and get the coach, obviously Jerry Jones, and get the quarterback. I just think it's a viable option. I would rather just draft a quarterback if I'm the Giants, but the owner made me seem like I'm not going to be able to see that process through with these guys. So I feel less confident about that because the owner's talking about I better see improvement. Well, it's going to be tough to see improvement with this schedule and a rookie quarterback. So if he wants to win right away, I don't see a better option than Dak Prescott. It opens up some possibilities. So we'll see. We'll monitor that situation because if the Cowboys have to find a way to get Sanders as their quarterback, the Giants sitting at three might make it a hell of a lot easier for him. And I understand Cowboys, Giants, is that something you would, you know, is that a trade that's easy to make? No. But in a situation where they're literally forced, like if Deion Sanders won't do it otherwise, which is a whole weird situation unto itself, but they might be forced to. So it's something to think about as Deion Sanders is possibly an option to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I got an opinion. As much as I might not love it necessarily, I'd rather have them draft the quarterback. The one thing you have to say, Giant fans, if you don't like the idea of Dak Prescott, the one thing you have to say is you'd be excited for the season. I mean, John Mara would be excited for the season, that's for sure.
If they were open to trading Dak, like we found out Deion's there, wants Shador, how many NFL teams would be interested? Like, probably close to double digits.
Yeah, probably close to double digits, right around there. I mean, listen, last year he was in the MVP conversation. Until he wasn't, but yeah, I mean, I think he's a franchise quarterback. I don't know if he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He has not shown to be that. He struggled in the postseason, much like some of the quarterbacks we've seen here this weekend. But it's as good an option to turn around a season because, I mean, Dak Prescott with this team, even in this division, they're a contending team. They're winning 8, 9, 10 games next year. I really feel like that's how much Dak Prescott would mean to the Giants, considering now that eliminates the Dallas. It eliminates, now you beat Dallas twice because they're drafting a young quarterback. They're figuring out the cap situation. We're moving on from Dak. Like, they're not going to win right away, I wouldn't think. So as tough as the rest of the division is, you take care of the Cowboys at least for once in the last forever. But it's a lot of things have to happen between now and then, but just where the Giants are. And again, I wouldn't have even considered this. I wouldn't have been anywhere near this. I would have been draft a freaking quarterback. I don't want Dak Prescott and all that money on the books. Forget all that nonsense. Go get a young quarterback. I would have been all over that if they would have fired Shane and Dable, or if the owner would have showed confidence in them beyond next year. Because now it's like, well, the last thing I want to do is draft a young quarterback, not win, and then fire Shane and Dable in the middle of his maturation process. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. So now, as much as I want to draft the quarterback, part of me is a little bit trepidatious with it. And if this kind of falls at their feet because they're going to go out and try and get Sanders, and from the position of three, they could Sanders can say, hey, look, I'm not going to Cleveland, so you figure it out. Trade back one pick to Dallas. You're not going to pick me anyway. You get Hunter, you get whatever at three. If Dallas is willing to do that, it seems plausible. And it seems better than Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers or Sam Darnold, who, again, played so poorly last night. I wonder, like, it's out there everywhere. Like, it cost him $100 million. Do you think he really cost himself $100 million last night? Like, is that feasible? Like, do you think he's sitting at home right now, or, you know, if he is sitting up, you know, turning on and off the lamp like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, just sitting there on, off, on, off. Thinking about how he cost himself $100 million playing the way he played last night. I don't know if anyone, I mean, does it mean that much over 14-3 season playing as great as he did all year? Crazy. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, man, the Rams took it, man. We got them.
You got them.
We got those Vikings.
They got the Vikings, absolutely.
They didn't even show, Chris, they didn't even show up, man.
They didn't. That was one of the more disappointing games. I mean, this is a team that won 14 games. I know a couple years ago when the Giants beat them, people felt like they were not a legitimate team. They won all these close games by weird circumstance, and defensively they weren't very good and all that. But this is a team that, you know, was battling for the one seed. A lot of people thought they were going to beat the Lions last week. I mean, Sam Darnold's in the MVP conversation. The defense led by, you know, a guy who's going to, and Flores, who's going to be up for every single head coaching job. I don't know what the hell happened. O'Connell's now considered, at this point, one of the better premier offensive coaches in the league.
Not anymore.
I mean, last night was a brutal night for him, yep.
He got shown up by the teacher. He was the student
right.
again.
That's why I said it. It's kind of reminiscent of the John Gruden Super Bowl against the Raiders, where it just felt like he knew everything the Raiders were doing. Like, he was, you know, obviously previously there. Callahan had no shot. Rich Gannon had no shot.
Callahan.
Callahan was the head coach, and it just felt like John Gruden knew everything the Raiders were doing. That's what it felt like last night. McVay knew everything they were going to try and do.
You think the Rams are going to be able to show up in Philadelphia?
Yes, I do. I think the Rams are going to be. Listen, I think the coach is an excellent. The head coach is great. McVay is a legitimately great head coach and offensive mind. I think Stafford is one of the more underrated players in the league right now. When he's on and he's healthy and he can throw it, I mean, Stafford is still an excellent quarterback. I think they got something going on. I think they got a little bit of belief. Maybe this, you know, this disastrous situation that they're dealing with kind of maybe rallied the team, buoyed the team to try to fight for their city. And I just think that they're a legitimate, and what you watch from Philadelphia last week, or, you know, a couple days ago, they didn't look good at all. And thank you for the call, Eddie. They didn't look good at all. They couldn't complete the pass at all. Obviously, you know, all jokes aside, they got, you know, guys reading, you know, A.J. Brown's reading a book on the sidelines. He's got one catch for 10 yards. They had no passing game to speak of at all. And they were going up against the Packers team that isn't very good. Had lost, you know, their best wide receiver heading in, and then lost their other two during the game. I mean, they were terrible on third down. The Eagles played a miserable game and found a way to. If they play like that against the Rams, they will lose. If they play that same game, the Rams will beat them. So I definitely think they're a live dog. I definitely think the Rams are a live dog. I still think Philly probably win. I think they're the better team. But I'll think about that all week, but there's no question. They are a live dog. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hello, Big Mac. How you doing, Big Mac? It's been a while since we spoke last time.
Oh, It has been. Are you talking to somebody, or do you like put on a Mitch voice when the call? Because I heard a deep voice there.
Oh yeah, I guess I'm driving someone to the airport. Oh, so, yeah, someone's in the car with me.
I got you.
Good observation. Big Mac, two things here, yes. Or actually three. Number one, when you're talking about, I've been listening for an hour and a half now with you about, you know, Dallas and maybe the Giants make that trade. It's not bad, but I wouldn't want to do it for one reason. Here's my main reason. Derek Todd gets injured all the time. He's injured every year.
Prescott,
thank you. Prescott's injured every year, and I wouldn't do the trade. What I would do is, if the worst comes to worst, and the manager's going to have to just suck it up and accept it, that if you have the third pick, go get Hunter as your third pick, and wait for next year. You have all the quarterbacks out there that they're better quarterbacks than Deion Sanders' kid, and there's no one out there that you can say, wow, this guy's going to really impress me, and say, well, we're going to put him in next year, and he's going to be a great quarterback for them. It's not going to happen. That's number one. It's just the time doesn't make sense. Number two, with the Jets. The biggest part about the Jets was when Belichick called up and said he would be willing to at least talk and maybe come back. They would not have just had a head coach that's a great head coach. They would have had a GM, because they would have taken Mike Lombardi as the GM, and he would have had a tag team there. They would have built the team up, and they would have done the right thing to do. But the Jets organization is a complete disaster, and the only thing they care about is raising money for their tickets and say, well, we want to be compatible with every other team in the league for their tickets, but they don't put a team on the field that we have to pay $300 for a ticket, whatever it is. No, it's a complete show.
I get you, Mitchell. Yeah, I don't know if they were ever going to be serious about Belichick. I agree, you got to take the call. I mean, of course. I'm shocked they didn't. I mean, it sounds like that Bill Belichick could have had the Dallas job if he waited before taking the North Carolina job. That would have been a good match. I don't know. As far as the quarterback situation with the New York Giants, I'm sorry. Like, there are quarterbacks that can turn this thing into a more competitive team, which is what the owner's looking for. The owner's going to have to suck it up. All right, you tell him that. I can't tell him that. I don't know. I can't just say, hey, John, suck it up. You've been losing long enough. What's another year? Let them rebuild it. That's what I wish they would do. But it sounded like he's not going to allow that. And if he's looking for just competent quarterback play to go out there and win 8-9 games and feel respectable, I mean, I'm telling you right now, Giant fans, as much as you don't like it, and again, I don't even know if I want them to do it. I'm just saying it opens the possibility. And for this quarterback, for this GM coach combo who desperately needs to win, I mean, you get a veteran quarterback in here who's legitimate. I mean, he's a franchise quarterback. Whatever you think of Dak and the injury is fine, I get it. I'm not saying it's a perfect situation. I'm just saying they're going to come in here and it immediately gets better. It immediately gets better. And all of you would be excited for the season. The biggest Cowboy hating, Dak hater. Like, if I told you right now, we're going to start the year and, you know, they were able to draft an offensive lineman 12. They were able to pick up offensive lineman depth in free agency. They added T. Higgins or another wide receiver as well. They restructured Dak's contract so it doesn't hurt them for 2 years cap-wise or whatever the case may be. You know how the cap is fungible, as Tiki likes to say. They figure out an extension with Dak so the money doesn't kill them, and they're ready to go attack the season with Dak Prescott. All of you would be excited. That's all I'm saying. I just want to be excited. We talked about indifference before. I'm tired of being indifferent about the Giants. That's why that's part of the reason I want to draft a young quarterback, because I want to care at the end of the year no matter what it looks like. They draft a young quarterback, I'll care. I'll be invested. It'll be about him more than just the wins and losses of that season. I don't trust them to have enough wins to care. I need the young quarterback, or at least Dak Prescott, to get me pumped. Something. All right, thank you guys for calling. Brett, thank you again for not calling. We're on a roll here, Brett. Everybody else, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Fliegelman, thank you. The warm-up show is next. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. I'll talk to you after the Nets later tonight. Tomorrow.